This podcast replay is brought to you by South Florida's premier law enforcement agency, the Fort Lauderdale Police Department. The FTLPD is now accepting applications for non-certified and certified police officer positions. Minimum requirements and qualifications can be found at flpdjobs.com. That's flpdjobs.com.
Back here. We are ready to talk a little Miami Dolphins football with Cameron Wolf. And he reported, says, I've been told to watch whenever Dolphins officially hire their new coach. They want to keep most of their defensive assistant coaching staff. They feel they are close on that side of the ball and have spoke with candidates about that. Now, the funny part was Barry Jackson then retweeted Cameron Wolf's and says, makes sense unless Flores gets job and takes Boyer and others. Somebody tell Barry Jackson that Flo didn't even talk to those guys after Thanksgiving. Those guys don't want to go with Flo anywhere. I'm not sure Barry knows that part. But anyway, let's bring him aboard. Cameron Wolf.
Oh, it's good, man.
Dropping knowledge as always. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm good, man. I'm here to bring knowledge. That's what we're here for, man. That's why you got the best group of Dolphins people talking on a weekly basis, because we're always going to give you the honest truth and the real. For folks who've been watching the whole time, you remember last week I told you that they're probably going to have a second round of interviews.
And yes, sir.
Like it doesn't make sense, you know. It's supposed to be Daboll. We got to make a decision. Well, now you see Ian coming out and saying they're going to have a second round of interviews next week. So I'm dropping the nuggets here on the Big O Show before they become public elsewhere. But yeah, I think that, you know, I think they're taking their time with this, which some people will see as a bad thing because you're competing with the Giants and other teams. But I also think they're trying to get this right. You know, they're hoping not to have a head coach search again 2 or 3 years from now, which they've seemed to have on cycles. So if it takes more time, it takes more time. Like you mentioned, my report, they do like what they have on the defense side of the ball. I was told repeatedly after the season that they felt like they were close on the defensive side of the ball. They just needed a punch, a kick on the offensive side of the ball to get them going forward. And that's why you're going to see a lot of the candidates they interview for the second round, assuming they get to the second round, be offensive guys, because they think, hey, we fixed the offense, keep our defense intact, and get a guy who can lead, and we're going to be in good shape. Now, I don't know if that's the best path. You know, we'll see. You know, I like the idea of fixing the offense. I also like the idea of your head coach being a guy you lead and not just a schemer. So they're going to have, to me, they're going to have to focus in on, can this guy be a leader? But that seems to be their plan going forward. And as far as Barry Jackson's report about the Flo taking assistance, that's always a possibility. But one thing to know is that a lot of these coaches are under contract, so they would need to be promoted for them to leave. So Josh Boyer, unless, you know, they said, hey,
well, unless he's the defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah. He's already
the defensive coordinator slash head coach. Actually, he would assistant head coach. Yeah.
I don't even know if assistant head coach is enough of a promotion for you to leave. I think it has to be a full move. Like if you're like, for example, if they wanted to go after a Gerald Alexander and Flo saying, hey, we'll bring you on to be our play calling defensive coordinator, he could hire him to do that. But Josh Boyer, unless you let him out of his contract, another team can't take a lateral move like that. So that's something to watch with all of those.
Well, and as our newest insider who will start next week with us, Marcel Louis-Jacques, with our Edge Energy Drink Miami Dolphins report, he broke last week that the coach wasn't even talking to his assistants after Thanksgiving. So that I don't know what kind of relationship he may have with some of these coaches. So I don't know who's really going to want to go with him, you know, if he's even hired overall. So and by the way, just to kind of piggyback off of your story and going a little bit off of against what Barry's saying, I think it makes sense. It's not that I make sense. I understand the method behind the madness, because they figure, okay, we've made progress on defense. We've made no progress on offense. So let's find the young coach that we can help him build a staff, but a guy that's offensive minded and that knows offense and knows quarterbacks and can build that side of the ball, since this side of the ball is a lot closer. So let's try to maintain continuity here, because on that side, there is no continuity. So it doesn't matter what you do on that side of the ball, tearing it down and rebuilding. But on the defensive side, it does matter. So philosophically, we stay with the same coaches. We stay with the same kind of drafting scheme. Because as you know, if you go 4-3 to 3-4, and then you have to switch up the different defensive linemen, the different linebackers, all these kind of things end up changing. Well, that part they don't want to change. So I understand the method behind the madness of saying, okay, let's maintain the continuity here. Let's fix what is disastrous here.
Right. And so I definitely get the philosophy. Like, I think I've told you on this show, I think that Gerald Alexander is a future star in this league. I think he's a decent
player. You and Omar have been very high on Gerald Alexander.
Yeah. And so like, I usually am not a guy who, you know, position coach, we don't know yet. We haven't seen him when it's actually his gig, but I've talked to him. I've seen just kind of how he flows. And I think that Gerald Alexander is going to be a rock star. In fact, every time I tweet about Gerald Alexander, I get Dolphins fans telling me to shut up so they don't lose the guy. Like, other people in the league don't know this. I'm not just sharing some, you know, dark kept secret that nobody knows. People know Gerald Alexander. He's got to wait for his chance. So that's a guy that I definitely want to keep. The one concern, and you know, I agree that the defense is a lot further and close. The one concern I would have is you're telling your head coach candidates essentially that you're having to keep Tua, you're having to keep your defensive assistants. And so you're essentially handicapping them a little bit. Not saying that's not the right move for both choices, but I also like the idea of giving my head coach a chance to at least make some decisions, you know? So right. I'm not in, you know, I think that it's the right move to keep defensive staff, but I also would love to like wait until this guy is hired and like let him be in on at least interviewing these guys. Do I want to keep this guy? Do I want to, you know, not? So that's the one part of it I'm not in love with. But overall, I'm with you. I think the defense,
but we think all about agree. This. Think about this. The guy that's the boss is tortured.
Yeah.
Because he's been here for 20 years and he's watched new coach after new coach that couldn't build staffs, that couldn't get it done.
Right.
So he goes, well, we're going with a new coach. Well, hold on. Let's not make the mistakes we've made in the past. If we're going with the new coach, we all know the new coach is going to struggle to put together staffs because that's kind of the thing. Well, we have our defensive staff in place. Why are we going to ruin that? Why are we going to, you know, what's it called? Upset the cart or whatever. What's that saying or whatever? So, you know, why are we going to do that? Let's keep this intact. Let's keep that continuity. And I think that's kind of, you know, if you're Chris Greer, you're like, man, I've seen this over and over again. All right, if we're going to do it, let's try to shortcut this thing. And I think, just me, after piggybacking on your story, that's what I'm seeing now through the trees.
Right. And one thing I did hear also, giving you guys first on the Big O show, that Steve Ross is definitely taking a bigger, and it's not a surprise, but Steve Ross is taking a bigger step in this coaching search and you know, trying to be involved in it. And, you know, I'm not saying that he hasn't in past years, but I've been told from people that they feel like Ross is having a big hand on this search. And he obviously wants an offensive guy to get to fix this search. I've told you guys before, you know, Chris Greer is a fan of Vance Joseph, of Dan Quinn. These are guys that Chris Greer has a lot of respect for. But as you saw today, Dan Quinn drops out of the hunt. You see Vance Joseph, who, you know, I haven't heard anything yet. Ian tweeted about the three candidates who are likely to get second interviews. Vance wasn't included in that group. You know, I'll still be working to see if he's included. But if he's not, then you eliminate pretty much all the defensive candidates who Chris Greer was in love with. And not saying that Chris Greer doesn't love one of these offensive guys, but that's a Steve Ross wanting an offensive guy. So that's something that definitely to watch as you're going about that. Obviously Steve Ross wants to make this work and get this offense a lot better. So I think it's going to be an interesting, you know, next week. Like I said, I'm going to be at the HBCU combine. One thing I did hear is that, and I'm not sure if it'll change, but as of yesterday, Chris Greer was actually confirmed to be down there at the HBCU combine in Mobile. So maybe that changes with the coaching search still going on, but he was scheduled as of earlier this week to
be. He's a scout at heart, bro. He goes to all that stuff. I've run into Chris Greer in the last 20 years in the Las Vegas Football Classic, the Orlando Gridiron, the East West, the Senior Bowl, the combine. I've seen that guy in all the different all-star games that I've been to.
He definitely is a scout at heart, and I actually appreciate like the HBCU event. I appreciate him giving attention to that because there's not a lot of first round prospects there, or even day
players
too. But there's players.
There's players.
But I found it interesting that, you know, in the middle of a coaching search, that he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go down here." So that kind of goes into the idea that the Dolphins are putting out that, hey, we're taking our time. So obviously, you see today that they're putting out the message through people, hey, we're taking our time. We're not in a rush. And so, you know, that kind of goes to that. So,
A couple of things. Caldwell, everybody's gotten it wrong. Caldwell to Chicago didn't happen. What's it called? Quinn to Denver didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville, I don't even know if they're still getting Leftwich, because now New Orleans also wants to talk to him. And that's a bitch, right? If you're Leftwich, you're going, well, Jacksonville has a quarterback, but New Orleans has a team.
Right.
So where do I go? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I can find a quarterback in New Orleans, I can win right now. In Jacksonville, I still have to build a whole damn team around that kid, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, but they're not getting things right. And then Caldwell, who's a guy that I love, obviously, but
right. You
know, outside of Chicago,
yep.
I don't think we've heard him associated with anyone else outside of, you know, maybe the Polian connection in Chicago.
Yeah, he had Jacksonville, I think, interviewed him for a job. But other than that, there hasn't been anything else. And I was actually surprised. I texted you about it. I thought that he was going to end up being the guy in Chicago. So I was wrong on that. Eberflus ended up being the guy. And I think a lot of that Ryan Poles, their GM, was given like, hey, here are the three finalists. And clearly he chose Matt Eberflus, which is interesting because we always talk offensive guys with these young quarterbacks. We're talking about it with Tua. You got Justin Fields out there. And you're hiring a defensive-minded head coach, which is fine. I have no issue with that. But who's going to be the OC to get Justin Fields right?
Right.
And that's the big question. And then if you get a rockstar OC, can you keep him? So that I think that's going to be something to watch there in Chicago. I don't know much about Matt Eberflus. Maybe he ends up being an awesome head coach. But that actually surprised me. You know, not much surprises me, but that surprised me a little bit that they went Eberflus, you know, over Caldwell in that situation. So. You know, I haven't heard anything here with Jim Caldwell. You know, people love Doug Peterson in the search. I know you're not a Doug Peterson guy, but people
that was,
love
that
him.
Was my next question.
And Peterson, he hasn't got anything.
And Bieniemy, dude.
Right. And that's three offensive guys who haven't really got much love throughout the cycle. This year, more than any year, it seems to be teams taking their time, and they're also taking chances on first-time head coaches. So
gotta give Sean credit here. On the point he made, because Peterson and Bieniemy, and then Nagy failed. Mm-hmm. Is the Andy Reid tree rottening a little bit there from inside?
I mean, you could look at it that way. Sometimes there are lapses where you go away from it, like the Patriot head coach tree.
Oh, God.
That for a while. So that's why I think it's going to be difficult for Jerod Mayo to get a job this year, who I think is going to end up, you know, has a good chance to be a good head coach. But after you see Brian Flores fired, after you see, you know, a lot of times people, it's revisionist history. You're like, you see what happened. Like, why would I just hire somebody from that same tree? So, yeah, I think you're probably right about that to an extent with Matt Nagy.
Sean. Sean's right. Not me.
Sean's right about that. Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson. Yeah, props to you, Sean. That's probably a good observation because owners, like, and I've talked about this before, owners are, you know, not saying
they're doing the math. They're doing the math.
Yeah, they go either way. They watch on TV. They're not, you know, a lot of owners are not hardcore football people. They own a team, they're business people, and they listen to the people around them.
I agree. So yeah, that's I wonder what is it about Bieniemy and Peterson that we don't know. I mean, the Peterson one, I heard a lot of things about him losing the locker room. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of stuck with him with that. So maybe that's it, that people didn't like the fact that he had it like made there, and all of a sudden that thing went awry. You know, it reminds me a lot of Gruden in Tampa, that after he won it, all it did was progressively get worse. It never got any better. He could never maintain it. You know what I mean? And it was like that for Philly. They hit the pinnacle and then they went right downhill that. So I wonder what's behind the scene there. And I wonder what's the deal with Bieniemy, that, you know, after all the hype and everything. And now, dude, in this round here,
yeah,
it's not even being considered for anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of behind the scenes conversations about Bieniemy. I don't know if I feel comfortable putting them out there yet because that's how rumors kind of get started. But there is right. some thought about Bieniemy and maybe why that hasn't happened. Some of the stuff you talk about Doug Peterson, there's questions about what happened at the end at Philadelphia. And some of the things we talked about with Brian Flores, like, can you hire a staff? You know, a lot of the people that
and you get along with people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So those are things that I think are part of that. And also, you know, especially for Eric Bieniemy, and I was talking with a front office guy this week who actually did some GM interviews. And he mentioned the fact that, you know, you don't want to take every interview because you're essentially, you know, people, it's like Toy Story. They, you know, owners look at you like a toy and say, hey, I don't want to play. Everybody played with you. They throw you away and say they don't want to play with you anymore 8 times. Why me, the 9th guy picking you up, am I going to say you're my best toy? So, right. I mean, it sucks to look at it in that lens, but some owners do look like, man, 8 guys passed up on this dude. Right. I'm not going to be the one to give him the chance. So that's honestly how it's looked at sometimes. So that's why you're going to see, especially guys who recognize that, be cognizant. And that's why I don't think it's anything wrong when you see coaches decline interviews. If you feel like you don't have a real chance there, if you feel like you wouldn't take that job, then why are you going to interview, you know, and have your name kind of, you know, if I interview for 5 different places and I'm putting it out publicly that I'm interviewing 5 and I get no job, how are people going to look at me? They're going to be like, dang, right. nobody wanted you. right. So even, you know, it's better for me not to interview for 1 job. I interview for 1 job and don't get it. Ah, that happens. You know, so I think that's you got to be a little selective on that.
All right. So it's Dable, McDaniels. And who's the third one that's going to get the
Kellen Moore, Ian
Rappaport. Kellen Moore. Okay. Yeah. I would never hire Kellen Moore in a heart for nothing. I'd take a chance on the other two. I get it. But here's the other thing with those three guys. This also tells me that all three guys are accepting of the defensive staff and accepting of Tua. That's what that tells me. If they're all three getting the second go around, that was talked about in the first go around, right? The first, I was telling people in the first go around, you have to clear things up, like the quarterback. You have to clear things up about the defensive staff, right? Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, obviously, do you have the same philosophical thing about what you want to do on offense? Okay, great. So now we're moving forward. So that tells me that all three guys know exactly what they have to do and they're fine with it. Do you agree or disagree on that?
I definitely know for a fact it's been communicated to all three guys. And clearly, if they still have their name in the search, that they're willing to continue to talk about it. Now, that's not saying that this is the end all be all. Like, they've clearly made this clear. This is what they want. If they have a guy, if it ends up being Dable and he says, hey, I'm only taking this gig if you get rid of 2 guys, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be foot in the sand and saying, no, we're not going to get rid of this guy. But I do know this is something they've made clear to them, that they would like to keep this defensive staff. And one thing to note, and I know you've talked about Daboll throughout this whole process, and I think it, you know, it's reasonable to conclude that him with the Giants opportunity and Dolphins opportunity believes that he's going to get one of those jobs. There may be a little bit of leverage play going on between a lot of these different factors, whether it's, you know, Daboll ends up getting a contract offer from someone. Does he want to go to Miami? Does he play it as leverage? Does he want to go to the Giants? Does he play it with leverage? And do the teams play it as leverage? You know, if the Dolphins end up saying, hey, Daboll is our guy, but he's asking for too much, or he's not, you know, following all our guidelines on our defensive staff, then maybe we go through a second round interviews and interview McDaniel and Kellen Moore that may not be our first choice, but we take them if it happens. So a lot of times you see leverage plays go on where you get later in the coaching cycle. I think you're seeing it in Jacksonville with Byron Leftwich. You know, he clearly wants a different situation with the GM. They're doing different interviews. He's doing different interviews. So a lot of this is game playing. You know, you're playing a lot of games. And the problem with playing games, sometimes you can lose. You can lose the game.
Jacksonville is funny because Balky's trying to find the guy that won't fire him.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know,
so that's something to definitely watch, you know, on both sides, the team side and the coach candidate side, the leverage play, the playing games, and trying to get exactly what you want. Because once you sign that contract, you're in. So if you sign a contract and say, hey, I don't have GM, I don't have power on the 53-man roster, I don't have power on my coaching staff, then that's going to be the way your whole coaching contract until you redo it. So these are things that, especially for first-time head coaches,
I don't think whoever takes over of these young guys is going to have power personnel this time around.
Right. No, I agree with you.
That's done.
I agree.
That's over. And guess what? None of them should have any power personnel because you haven't earned it, dude. That's the problem here. I know Marvin Allen and Greer and McKenzie, they have earned the right to do the personnel side. What they got to stop doing, and I think that's what they're going to do now, is they're not going to have the guy that's constantly getting in the way and cock-blocking the situation. That's what's going to end here, and that'll be good too. You know why? You will now get to judge the personnel department on the personnel and the head coach on coaching. And that's it. Move on, dude.
Yep.
Move on. You know? All right. So because the Bills are eliminated, but San Francisco is not, how long does this last? Because I was thinking, okay, with Dable out, well, I was thinking this might last past the Senior Bowl.
Right.
Right. But now that Dable's out, but McDaniel's still in, I don't know how this thing's going to go. I still believe what I heard, that Dable's their number one guy. I kind of almost feel that McDaniel is the fallback option, actually. I think he's the second option if they don't land Dable. That's just me. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think you're looking at a situation where, you know, like you said, I think this week, and I would have to double check on the rules to make sure I'm certain, but I think this week the teams in the NFC Championship and AFC Championship games couldn't go through interviews.
Right.
So people were asking, you know, why maybe there weren't interviews this week. I think that may be a part of it. Now, this week, regardless of San Fran wins or not, there's a week gap before the Super Bowl where you can interview. So and if you remember when they hired Brian Flores, they did, I believe they did a second interview during this week, and they made the decision to hire him in principle. So it was known, it was reported, but he wasn't officially hired, and he didn't have his press conference until after the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that would probably, like, if for whatever reason McDaniel is the guy, that would probably be the process they go about, where they do the interviews next week, they go about it, and they probably leak to someone, you know, that, hey, McDaniel's going to be the next head coach. So we all know that. But then for a week and a half, there's nothing done. He's still a 49er as they go through their Super Bowl run. And if they lose, then he's free and everybody's free. So I think that's why you're going to see next week. I'd imagine next week we have a final decision, even if it's not official.
Follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf. We'll talk to you next week. You'll be out in Vegas, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'll be out in Vegas. Mobile now, Vegas next week. So
you got it. All right. There you go. Have some fun, man. Lay a couple of bets for me, as always.
Put it on black, right?
Always bet on black.
Exactly.
Always. All right, Cam. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
All right. See you, Big O.
You got it. For you Passenger 57 fans. All right. That is Cameron Wolf, baby, in our Fort Lauderdale Police Department, Miami Dolphins, and NFL report.